Praise the Lord. Happy to be out again. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, the giver of all things. Lord, the giver of strength, the giver of peace. Lord, we gather here, Lord, to draw strength from You again tonight. Lord, we just look forward to each and every moment, Lord, that we can come. And Lord, just bask in You, Lord, for what You've done for us. Lord, remember what You've done for us, Lord. And to fill Your Holy Spirit, Lord, with us again. Lord, we just appreciate You with all our hearts, Lord. We ask You to have Your way in everything that's said and done this night. It all be done for Your glory and Your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Isn't He wonderful?
Yes.
Amen. I'd like to turn to page 9 in our capstone life book here. God delivers again. So many times has He delivered in my life. Amen. Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army would take us in bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, Moses did cry. Then God parted the waters and they crossed to the other side. Oh, God delivers again. Oh, my God delivers again. When it seems that all is lost, He reaches down His hand. Then all the forces of evil have to flee at His command. Steps in and takes care of every situation.
Amen.
Amen. Good to know He's backing you. Amen. I'd like to turn to page 90 in the same book. Amen. Thinking this little song the other day, God is God. Well, I know God is God, and God don't never change. I know God is God, and Jesus is His name. He's God in the Father, He's God in the Son, He's God in the Holy Ghost, and all these three are one. Well, I know God. Amen. Relationship with Him. That is the question. Amen. Amen. We're so thankful for Him. I got another song in my heart, page 26 in the little capstone books. Think of this song so many times when whether you leave the house to go to work or whatever you're doing. I don't want to walk without Him. I don't want to talk without Him. I want Him to be there wherever I am. Amen. Leading and guiding. If we could slow that down. It used to be when I was sinning, Satan stood off somewhere grinning as the pleasures that he brought just turned on me. And teardrops came like rain a falling. Then I heard my Savior calling, you can't go on anymore. Just lean on me, amen. And I won't walk without Jesus. I won't talk without Jesus. I refuse to live one day as before. I won't go without Jesus. Just a soul without Jesus, everything that I would do, I just won't do without the Lord. A beggar lame at the edge of the city, all his life he'd been regretting, 'cause he never stood or walked down the street. And Peter look on us, Peter did say, rise up and walk in the name of the Lord, and he leaped to his feet. Amen. Oh, I won't walk without Jesus. I won't talk without Jesus. I refuse to live one day. without Jesus just ain't so. Without Jesus, everything that I would do, I just won't do without the Lord. Amen. Is that wonderful? Amen. If we all just took him with us everywhere we went, and we knew he was right beside us, even in us. Amen. If we really truly knew that, there wouldn't be a worry one. Amen. You know he's taking care of everything. Amen. Before it ever happens. Amen. I just look forward to the opportunity to show the glory of the Lord in my life. Amen. I praise him for his grace that he wants to walk with me every day. Amen. Where would I be without him all these years? I don't know. And I'm sure you feel the same way, saints. You look back over your life and you just don't know. You just know how you got here. It's his grace. Amen.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Brother Ames, would you take up the offering this time?
He is wonderful.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
Should be such a praise and a burning in our hearts. Amen. Yes. Singing without the day with him. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so truly thankful for your grace and mercy in our lives.
Yes.
To see where you've got your hand on us all.
Yes.
We love and appreciate you. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for this opportunity you've granted to us once more to gather in your temple, Lord, to hear your precious word, Lord, to claim higher in you this night. Lord, as we come to this portion, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Let it be used for the upbuilding of your kingdom. We ask it in your precious holy name, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. I'll say amen to Jesus, amen all the time. I'll say amen to Jesus, amen all the time. Amen in sorrow, amen rain or shine. It's yes to God forever. He knows what's best for me, and so I'll just say amen, whatever it may be. I'll say amen to Jesus, amen all the time. Amen in sorrow, amen rain or shine. It's yes to God forever. He knows what's best for me, and so I'll just say amen, whatever it may be.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Anyone have a need upon their heart, whether it's spoken or unspoken? We'll just take it before him. Precious Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege, Lord, to bring our needs before you, Lord. Lord, the great thing about it is, Lord, you know already what they are.
Yes.
Lord, for you are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the Lord, to know that you walk with us and you talk with us. You speak to us each and every time we gather, Lord. Lord, you speak to our hearts on certain things that happen in life. You tell us to do this or do that. Lord, it's your grace, it's your mercy. So, Lord, we know that you're more than able to meet each need here in the house tonight. Lord, even those that can't be with us on occasion, Lord, we just ask you to bless them richly. Lord, our heart goes out for Brother Bobby and Brother Leffler and his family, Lord, and all that those who help. Lord, it's such a burden sometimes, Lord. Sometimes we probably wonder how we can do it. Lord, only you know. You look down into our hearts. Lord, you said you'd never put on us more than we could bear. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, to meet our needs in such a mighty way that will only glorify your wonderful name. Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the glory, praise, and honor that's due unto you each time. Lord, more important now, Lord, more than ever, Lord, we ask for the revelation of thy word. Lord, it's so precious to us, Lord. Lord, we never want to take for granted, Lord, each and every time we gather and, Lord, have the opportunity to hear the unadulterated word of God. Lord, we just appreciate it with all our hearts, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to bless each heart with it this night. Dip it down into our hearts, Lord, that we have a desire to leave this place and let it live throughout each and every day. Lord, may that be the desire of each and every heart tonight, Lord. Lord, we just hand it all over to you now, Lord, and we ask you to have your way. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated if you'd like. Amen. He is so wonderful.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Anyone have a song tonight or a special? Sisters? The girls have a song? Ask the girls to come on up. Amen. As we ask our brother to come, let's sing that little chorus. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your knees.
aren't you glad that you can reach out and touch him? Amen. As we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we are so humbled together once more, Lord, around your precious word. And to come, Lord, asking you to speak to our hearts through these precious scriptures and quotes we'll read tonight, Lord, and renew our minds back to. And just asking, Lord, that you would help somewhere along the way. Lord, you know all about it. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to lead us and to guide us, Lord, into all truths as you said you would. And Lord, as we are a little slack on anything or concerning anything, Lord, reveal even this to us, Lord, that we would climb and grow. And every step, Lord, would be drawn closer to you. We ask your blessings upon your word, and we ask you to bless our hearts to the hearing, Lord, and we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Amen. So thankful for every little opportunity we get to come, and together, saints of like precious faith. Amen. It's a little strange little thought for this evening, maybe, but just simple. But just praying God will maybe use it for his glory somewhere to help someone. Maybe someone needs a little boost. Amen. While you're standing, let's turn our Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs, the third chapter. Amen. A little thought had come to me during the service there a week or so ago as our brother was ministering, and just very simple, but just praying that maybe somewhere it's needed, you know. And as we said, brother sang the little song, God delivers again. Our God is always mindful of us. Amen. But on Proverbs, the third chapter there, and if we could just start at that fifth verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. That alone is a powerful little scripture. Amen. It's been read many times. And just to take a little different channel with it tonight, is them maybe, Brother Branham, I know you used that in leaning not into your own understanding. But as we look into that, it says, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's where our trust has got to be found. That's where our we've got to be anchored there. That's got to be where we've found our solidness. Is in the Lord, not in coming to church, not following a pastor, not coming here because my parents do, or I come here because brother so-and-so does. But each and every one of us has got to find that rock-solid place where God has led me along, and I know that it's the Lord leading me to this place where I am. But just in thinking of this, I'd like to turn over to Matthew, if you'd like to follow along with me. We're going to read a few scriptures here. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Amen. Read some things that took place here. And all of this is very familiar, but just to refresh our minds and to kind of catch a scene of things that was happening here that Jesus was speaking. But this is Matthew 14, and start at the 22nd verse. And straight away Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and tossed with waves, for the wind was very contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And as we think about that little saying, be not afraid. And as we look into this trusting him, if you go back into the Old Testament and go back to Joshua and read in the book of Joshua, you notice when the Lord appeared to Joshua there after Moses had passed, and he told him, Be of good courage and be not afraid. For I'm with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And how, as we look at this, all through the Bible, Jesus repeated this phrase many times. Be not afraid. It is I. Have confidence in what I've told you. And as we will turn over here to Mark, the fifth chapter, realizing that the disciples, the calmness they must have felt, being out there on the sea. And you can imagine, as we've spoke many times, the fear that must have really been gripping them when they realized the shape they were in and where they were, and knowing the situation, and it was out of their control. But then to hear Jesus and see him, and first being afraid that it was a ghost or a spirit, something that spooked them, had them even more anxiety and even more afraid than the situation they were facing. But then to hear the calmness of that voice, "Be not afraid." Oh, what a calming effect that must have had as it was spoke across the sea. Enough that Peter would say, "Lord, if that's you, bid me to get out of this boat." And oh my, to have the confidence went from fear to, "I'm going to walk on that water." God has such a powerful sway with his word, and his presence is ever so great. But oftentimes we forget that he's with us. And sometimes we forget that he's in charge of every situation. And maybe we need a little reminder that to keep our eyes focused on him and to put our trust always in him and never to lean to what I understand or what I know about something, but to solely be able to lean back and to rest in the faith of knowing that he knows all things, and he knew me before there was a moon or a star on this earth, and he holds me in the palm of his hand. Amen. He knows how many hairs is on my head, and he knows all about me before I've ever, anything that I've ever done, he knew about it before I did. And if we could just get a confidence that this great God that parted the Red Sea and walked with the prophet of this day and healed all of the people that he healed and all of the circumstances, the little lady that was praying, and God stopped Brother Branham from getting on a plane and took him down a street to pray for her son and to meet a need that was needed there. God is powerful, and that same God lives today for whatever circumstance we're facing. Amen. Whatever we come up against, God is just that great, and he wants to be made great, and he wants our lives to be a reflection that proves that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. We might not be in a time of to be the person to go around laying on hands and raising the dead and having great healing campaigns, but these promises were to us as individuals, that whatever I have need of is laying there for me to partake of at the time that I need it. And whatever I have need of, he said, ask. Ask whatsoever you will. And oh my, if we can ask and our hearts condemn us not, we can have what we ask for. And how we should, all of this precious word that we've seen come forth, when you stand praying, forgive. And your Heavenly Father will forgive you. Make sure them trespasses have been forgiven, and there's nothing standing between you and the Savior. And as we, all of this word is coming, what's it doing? As our pastor's been speaking, the maturity is coming to a people. That word that's been heard is becoming them. And they're becoming it, and it's becoming a blending of the word and the bride becoming one. And it brings about a manifestation that Jesus Christ is alive and living and is no more a human being in control, but Jesus has the full sway over our lives. But here in Mark, the 5th chapter, and we'll just start here about the 21st verse just to catch the whole scene that was happening, but just to get it. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship, this is Mark, the 5th chapter, 21st verse. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him with greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And it's just amazing that how God let situations happen. In the midst of this young man's catastrophe happening in his life, and all that was pertaining to him, here's Jesus trying to go with him to go to this little girl to pray for her. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things, and many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him,
turned in him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And can you imagine all the people you've seen, how it is to go somewhere and get in a group of people that's moving for an event somewhere, maybe. Maybe you go to the zoo and everybody's trying to get to that next time appointed, maybe to see the feeding of some animal, and you get hundreds of people and everybody's pushing against each other trying to get to that spot, and you're in the middle of that and you can't go any way you want to go. And maybe you really need to get down there because it's going to start in the next 2 minutes, and you're moving with that group. Well, here's this young man with that burning in his heart. His daughter's lying at the point of death. He's made it over here and got the Savior to come. He's found Jesus, and he's asking him to come with him. And Jesus starts out with him, and then here they are in all this press of people, and people probably asking Jesus questions and talking and saying things and trying, and the disciples probably in the middle trying to herd them along. And all of a sudden, Jesus himself stops in the middle of all of that and says, "Who touched my garment?" And you know the disciples standing there, as Brother Branham dwelled on that, how Peter must have looked at him. What do you mean, who touched you, Lord? Look at all of these people. But Jesus standing there realizing that the virtue had gone from him, and he knew somebody had got a hold of him, touched him. And yet he stopped right in the middle, even though this other young man, he in his heart, he's got that press there. Look at my situation. Look what's happening to me. Look what's going on. Oh, we got to move. But oh, how Jesus was just so calm. And he said, Jesus immediately knowing someone had touched him, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, and knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole all of thy plague." And oh, what a shouting match probably broke out at that point. Realizing, you can imagine how happy she was. And what the praise she was doing. And then the disciples standing there seeing what had happened and realizing, oh, you can imagine the rejoicing that was taking place around. And yet here this young man still standing there with a major obstacle in his life. And he's just, oh, in his heart, he's, you know, he's seeing this take place. And then right away, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And oh my, sometimes if we would only get our eyes off of the situation and focus it to God's word and only believe what he told us and take him at his word. Our brother spoke about it here at a service not too long ago. You may not understand what's happening. You may not fully comprehend what's being said. But say amen to it, and Lord, here am I. And stay open in a channel for it. And say, "Lord, I believe that. I may not understand it, but Lord, I believe that." And hold on to that promise. But look at this young man, all that was happening. But Jesus, as calm as he could be, "Be not afraid." And you know, if you look up that word afraid, the definition is feeling fear or anxiety or frightened. Or worried, something undesirable will occur or be done, or unwilling or reluctant to do something for fear of the consequences. And oftentimes God's word comes across so sharp. And you know, sometimes it comes so cutting, and it's so to the point, that so many people begin to turn their side. They don't want to come into that presence. They don't want to feel that cutting. They don't want to get near that before the fear of, oh, what, he might point something out I'm guilty of. The word might cut me here or there. But yet the Holy Spirit is here all the time saying, "Be not afraid, it is I. And I'm here to give you something if you'll just yield to me, if you'll only believe what I'm trying to tell you. If you'll just follow after the words of life that I've given you and bear forth exactly what God's got for you, oh, what a peace you can have." And how oftentimes we go through life and we don't have that peace. Every little situation just truly, totally upsets us. We get all flustered and we fall apart and we don't know anything. And we've got all of this word laying here. God sent a messenger in this day. And he told us that at the sounding of that angel's last seventh angel's message, the mysteries of God would be finished. And oh my, we stand in a day and an age when the disciples, we can look back in their day and see it was before they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if we turn over here to John 14th chapter, and let's read what Jesus said.
very familiar. Just put it back in our hearts. Amen. John 14, and we'll start there, about the 12th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now we know all the word. We've had the teaching because God has made sure that that word has been brought back to us. And he sent a messenger in his age to declare that we would, if we loved him, we would keep all of them commandments. There would be a manifestation and a vindication coming from our life. And we'd be able to have that confidence that we could see that God had called us and what he was doing through us. And realizing that if we had obeyed all the word, we'd be able to stand with confidence and ask whatever we could, would. And God knowing that if we were truly in his will and surrendered to him, we wouldn't ask nothing outside of his will. And God knowing all these things, he said, ask whatsoever you will, and it'll be done. And how, what a confidence this ought to give me as we go on down here, if I begin to match, and we can see our lives matching this precious word. He says, and if you keep me, love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And now think about that. As Jesus was walking with the disciples, he was their comforter. Who comforted them when they was out there in that ship as he come walking over the sea? Who was comforting Jairus there when his daughter was dead? And they said he was dead. And he's standing there saying, be not afraid. Only believe. Amen. God was in the flesh being manifested. Speaking all of these things. And he was comforting hearts as they walked along with him. But he said, but I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And then he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And oh my, when he... as he's speaking these things, and he says, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter. And I'll no longer be with you, but I'll be in you. And oh my, at the time he was speaking these things, the disciples probably didn't fully understand what he was saying. But we live at the fullness of time where God has made sure that he has revealed these things unto babes such as would learn. And opened up and sent a messenger in this hour to bring back this precious word, that the fullness of God's word would be manifested through a people's hearts and lives in this last age, right before the catching away of that little bride. He says, yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And then we drop down there and he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. He's speaking to you and I. He's made all of these promises that are laying here for us. And every promise is laying here if we'll just accept it and take him at his word. Amen. And walk on believing exactly what he said. There's many circumstances come up in our lives. We don't know what we'll face tonight yet or what we might face tomorrow. And things that, if you look back at our precious prophet while he was here, look at the many things he had to suffer and face. As through his life, as he journeyed here as a man, traveling through life, and seeing how all of these different obstacles approached him, and how going through all the different scenarios, as I was reading through the prophet's message, looking back at his Africa report, many of you have read it, and the different times that he was so sick for months, and different things that happened, his wife and baby, and we see all of this happening, but through that all, there was still something down on the inside, even though he realized and he was crying out to God. There was something still greater than he was pulling him through those times,
holding him, not throwing his word away. Oh, I must not have been called to this. This must not be right. But something holding him steady in that time of maybe a bleak time in his life. But there was something down on the inside of him. And he often said that. I didn't hold my religion. My religion held me. And how we can see that God, down on the inside with that little predestinated seed, holds us steady as we travel through life. But oftentimes we go through life putting our trust in other things besides God's word. You know, if our trust is only in our church when times get tough, if we can't get into a service where we can do a little singing and shouting and jumping and praising God, we get a little weak, and then we've lost our faith, and then we have to pick up that phone and try to call someone to help me out. I need strength. Or, you know, our pastors are here for our time of when we need them, to go to them and counsel with them for whatever. God placed them here to help us. But as our faith in our pastor, you know, we went to a place where every man's faith was in a man. And they trusted so greatly that he had everything they needed that they placed him above God and asking his, how did this decision in my life, how should I make it? How should I do this? How should I do that? When God's word is the decision maker in our hearts and in our lives. And as we see these things, we should go to God in prayer with any obstacle, any decision. You know, it's sometimes we go to a brother because we need strength. And we may go over and say, brother, I'm really battling this thing. Can you pray with me? There's nothing wrong with that. But our faith must rely in God's precious word. Only believe what I've said to you and abide by it and watch God fulfill the promise that he laid out for each and every one of us. Let's turn over here to Acts, the 27th chapter, if you would. Here's somebody that had the comforter in them. Amen. And we can see an example that happened here of another situation. In Acts 27, let's start there about the 9th verse, and realizing this is where Paul had been taken prisoner, was being taken by ship back to Rome, I believe is where they were headed. But it starts about the 9th verse, and he says, and when much time was spent and the sailing was now dangerous because of the fast was already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, and not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to the winter end, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain the Phoenice, they were winter, and which is the haven of Crete. And I apologize, I'm not real good with some of these words. And lieth toward the southwest, northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose and losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after that, there arose against in the tempest wind called Arecladon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps and ungirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall in the quicksands, strike sail, and so were driven. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And these men were realizing all that was happening. And here's Paul in this ship. And no mention of him after he said what he did until we get down here to the 21st verse. And it says, but after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. But now I exhort to you to be of good cheer. Amazing how the Holy Spirit speaking. Paul had been down there praying, Brother Branham said. He said, and he'd been talking to the Lord, and the Lord had showed him what was going to take place here. And Paul coming up out of there, he says, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, For I believe, God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under the collar, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. And then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Amen. They had seen something now. It had been testified to them. They had seen that what Paul had said come to pass, because he said, God and whose servant I am, and he showed me these things. We should have never left. So God working on both ends. Here's Paul in a frightful situation, but God placed him there for a reason. And here's these men seeing God work through Paul's life. Paul wasn't jumping all over around trying to grab these things, but with a calmness he was saying, stay with this ship and let's follow through. And they let that boat fall, and it says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. Wherefore I pray to you, take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And when we're all in the ship, 216 souls, and they didn't lose a one. But I want you to look at that Paul's courage with that Holy Spirit riding in him. The Comforter was inside of him now, comforted him. He didn't maybe know exactly what was happening till the angel of the Lord came and said, Paul, you must stand before Caesar, and this is what's happening. But look at God's word being manifested and followed to the letter, and how it brings a calmness to the person. And how this precious word, we've heard this word and heard this word and heard this word. But oftentimes the smallest obstacle in our life derails us. And we seem to forget that who we serve. We seem to forget who's in charge of everything we do. Maybe it's a job. Maybe I've lost my job and I've got no income. Or maybe I've got a situation in my family that it's just beyond my control. But God's word is laid out before us. If you'll just take me at my word and follow me exactly what I've said to do and leave it up to me, you abide in this and watch God fulfill the promises to work it to our good. For all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And by God's grace, if you can see you are called to his purpose, what an abundant joy we ought to have in our hearts. No matter what comes our way, no matter what stands against us or rises up, and I may not know the end. Oftentimes you look and it looks so bleak, but God has a purpose, and the footsteps of the righteous are ordained of God. And how we need to let all of this precious word, these scriptures were placed here for our admonition, and to feed us and to hold us and to sustain us. And the precious prophet was placed here and faced many things and put it into word form, into book form, that we would have it to go back to strengthen ourselves with God's precious word and to draw from that. We may not all be prophets where we're getting visions. We may not all have dreams, but we all must look to God's precious word. Here in the message, this was in the message, Melchizedek, the great prince and king, preached January the 9th, 1955. And let me make sure I got the right quote. Amen. Yeah, so here he starts about paragraph 180 just to catch what Brother Branham is saying. As people, some of us sitting here, old, and some of us getting gray, and some of us before we meet again, there may be some of us passed beyond the veil. But whatever you do, whatever life produces, if it produces sickness, if it produces anything in the world, keep your anchor within the veil. Keep looking to the author and the finisher yonder, the Lord Jesus Christ, and call those things which seem to be as though they were. These three elements that a man follows first is humanistic. First is humanistic, second is divine revelation, and the third is a vision. It's thus saith the Lord. And many times we're down in here and never climb into this, If you're not down in there, cast your hopes through that veil up there to thus saith the Lord. Though you don't see the vision, though the revelation doesn't come, and though when you're prayed for, you say, I just wish I could believe, that doesn't make any difference. Cast your anchor down there and call it so anyhow. Abraham couldn't see. He said, how can it be? Mary couldn't understand. She said, how could I have a baby not knowing any man? And he said, but the Holy Ghost will overshadow you and he will bring it to pass. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me. Amen. There's that clue. Just say, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord, let that word be to me. And that's the same thing Abraham did. He didn't fully understand how his body was going to turn back to a young man, but God had made him a promise. Amen. And that's the thing we've got to see. This Bible is not a book of stories and fairy tales, but this is a promise God made to you and I that he would back up every word that was in there. Yes, and he said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What do I have need of? What do I need that would help me in my serving the Lord or something that I really need from him, an obstacle maybe that's standing in the way that I, if it would maybe make my life or journey here to serve him a little easier or to help in some way for his glory and to his honor, what is there? Do I just go through life thinking it's just the way life is when some of these obstacles come because I never stopped to think that God could have placed that obstacle there for his glory and to his honor to for me to be living through something that I would have a testimony when I come out the other side? That Lord, let me tell you what God did for me. We've been placed here to be witnesses of these things. Amen. The Holy Ghost dwelling inside of us, the Comforter is living in someone. He is here today to fulfill every word. And every circumstance may be different. Every me thing may be something else for some. One, this one might really need something that's tremendous and large, and maybe everybody will see when the Lord meets that need. But it might just be that one little need that nobody even knows I've got but the Lord. But when I know that I had no way to meet it, and I went to him in prayer and then see him come through and see the Holy Spirit move that thing to work out to my good for his glory, oh, what a consolation it ought to place in my heart. And what a joy. And oh, how we should give thanks back to God for those little things. Amen. But she says, but Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me. How was it going to be? She didn't know. But she cast her anchor beyond the veil and went forth testifying she was going to have a baby before she felt life or anything. And she called those things which were not as though they were. And Abraham, when he was 75 years old, God gave him the promise. Sarah, 65, gave the promise. 25 years elapsed before it ever come to pass. But Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving praise unto God and calling those symptoms and things which was, as though they were not, testified only what God said was true, because he had the promise. And you know, there's a thing called inspiration. Our pastor spoke on it many times. But you may be going to God in prayer and feel that that thing is just something come over you that you know that that's been met. Amen. It may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen the next day. But if you felt that inspiration strike your heart, you hold on to that with all that's in you, that God is going to meet that need and see it come to pass. Because he will. Don't you give up. If God's laid something into your heart and you can see it, you hold on to it with all that's in you and press for it and keep thanking him for it and don't let Satan take it from you. But keep giving it to him. He said, God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving praise to God, calling those symptoms things which were not as though they were, and testified only what God said was true because he had a promise. God be merciful. Oh my. Does your face set still this morning when the troubled winds are blowing and the nights are dark and the winds and lightnings are flashing? Does your anchor hold? Build your hopes this morning on nothing less than Jesus' blood with righteousness. And I know it's hard. It seems hard, but take it one time. Take God at his word and see what a blessed hope it is just to march forward in faith. In this great faith battle, I've tried to fight it. I've come some awful obstacles, been over some rough road, and it shows on me I have. But it's been the most blessed thing, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. And here is my greatest victories, and the greatest pleasures I have, is when I come up against something that I can't see over it, around it, or under it. I just keep walking towards it, believing this, that God will make a way when I get there. And I've never come this far, and all this distance I've come, I have trusted him, and he has never failed me. And oh, what a consolation this word ought to give us. Maybe I sat here as a young person, and maybe I feel that I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I sat here, and I hear the word, and I hear such a draw in my heart. Don't be afraid. If you're the only one that would get up, or you're old, middle-aged, it don't matter. But if God's moving you, go with let the Holy Spirit take you and reach out and step out on that in your heart and confidence for God. Don't worry about what I'm going to think. Don't worry about what somebody else sitting here is going to think. But if God is dealing with your heart, respond to Him and Him alone and watch God fulfill the promise in your heart and in your life. And oh my, if we just yield to that moving of the Holy Spirit, when you feel that tug and oh, it's just more than you can bear, yield to it and let God take control. Oh, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And oh, He draws. No man can come unto me unless the Father draw him first. And oh, if He's drawing, you can't help but know it. You will know it and you'll feel it from the tips of your toes to the top of your head. That drawing will be so great in your life, it'll just keep drawing you. But don't ever fight it, but go with it and say, Lord, here am I. Yield to Him and let Him have His preeminence. Amen. But oh my, be not afraid. He's here. He's here for any situation, for any circumstance. And oh, He can do things, oh my, that you just can't imagine what God can do for you if you'll just put your faith and trust in Him. But Brother Branham said here in Jehovah Jireh the third, preached April 4, 64, paragraph 89. He said, today people are something on the order like they were in the days when the disciples was out on the ocean. And one night that storm came up, there was nothing. All hope was gone that they'd ever be saved. And they seen Him come walking on the water. And their ship was waterlogged and their sails were broke and the oars were gone. And they were holding one another screaming. And they looked out there and they seen Him come walking on the water and was scared of Him. Their only hope. They were afraid of the only thing that could save them. And if that ain't a true picture today again, that they thought it looked spooky, you know, they cried out for fear. It's a spirit. It looked too spiritual. That's the same thing it is today. But if you'll do just like they did when they cried out, they heard that voice coming, fear not, it is I. Be not afraid. Be of good courage. And if you'll just watch the word of promise for this day, you'll hear the same voice speaking through the word, it's me. I promise to do this in the last days. Fear not. Don't be scared. Put your trust in me, the Son of God, who He is, and believe it. Amen. And oh my, if we would just come to that far and put our full confidence in this precious word and take it just like it says. The prescription says it'll do this. If we follow the guidelines, God will make it work out exactly the way He said it would do. That life will reproduce that was written in that Bible. Just like it lived through Paul, just like it lived through Peter, and all those brothers and sisters in the book of Acts, it'll live through you and I, the exact same. If we'll take God at His word and yield to Him, but we've got to yield all of it to Him. We can't hold back. We can't try to hold on to a portion of ourself thinking, I want to reserve this peace and keep this peace to myself. But God wants all of us. And as we're moving into this great time, we see things happening all around us. Don't be afraid of this world. We know our day is coming. We know God is going to come again. We know what's been written in the scriptures. I don't know what's going to take place today or tomorrow, but I know one thing. He told me He would come and take me out of this world. And by God's grace, if my life is backed up and vindicated in that precious word, I'm waiting and watching for the appearing of the Lord and my time to come. And when we see all this taking place around us, what a joy it ought to put in our hearts to know that day is nearing very close at hand. And oh, what a thanksgiving it ought to place in our hearts. Oh my, you know, we don't know how long we'll have a job or how long we'll be able to work. Who knows what will happen in this world as things seem to get crazier and crazier every day. But oh my, as the bleaker it gets here, the brighter that new city is a shining. Yes. And oh my, knowing what God has promised us, and I want to be found in the center of His will, making sure that I'm living by faith and lining up to every word that He's placed us in His precious Bible. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. But oh my, we're so many things. We have so many circumstances that God could be so glorified in if we would just get out of the human way of thinking and focus in and look at it through God's eyes. Amen. And let God take and get the preeminence if we would weigh each situation as it happens. You know, we're reactors. Humans are reactors. It's something happens and we got to do something with it right now. But oh, if we could just learn to be like Paul, you know, as he going down the street and that little woman nagging at him behind, crying after him and Silas as they was walking down the street and him knowing he had permissions, knowing he had authority to turn around and cast that spirit off. But he waited in the spirit for God to tell him. And if we could just find that place where we could sit down in the quietness of the Holy Spirit when these things happen. And wait on the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to lead us the way that we should move. How much greater glory would be given to God. Amen. And it would work out a lot smoother sometimes. We wouldn't have to go through some of the things we have to go through. Because God would lead us the ways. As he said in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all of your ways acknowledge him. Oh, may that burn in our hearts. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Praying that something was said to strengthen you and help you along the way. Cause you to encourage you to press on. You know, we're living in those moments of time when just any day now. Amen. Our Lord is coming. He's going to be returning. And oh, may we be waiting and watching. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus as our pastor comes. Just any day now.
Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any day now, his face I'll see. Sing it again. Just any day.
Amen. I was thinking that little song as our brother's bringing that out and how true it is. Peace in a time of trouble. When you see all the commotion, upsetness, and nervousness going on, you know, you just stand back and say, thank you, Lord, for peace. Thank you, Lord, for the joy. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation, eternal life. Amen. So thankful. Let's sing that too in closing. Amen. Oh, there is peace in the time of trouble. Yes, there is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging. In the shade truth. Do you have that peace? Amen. Glory. Thank the Lord for it. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again, we appreciate the precious words of life that you stirred our hearts back to. And Lord, a word of exhortation to stir our lives and then tune us up further and closer to you, Lord. It's just such a blessing to always gather around the Word. It's for truly we feel that in our heart, Lord, that the Word of God is inspired. And the Word of God is spirit and it is life. And it's not just a phrase, Lord, but it's a true reality in our hearts and our lives. Because, Lord, there's something about that word when we hear it. It's just so so exciting and such a love and to hear it, Lord. So we appreciate it now. And thank you that you give us this little opportunity together this evening. And may again, Lord, through it all, you get the glory and the praise and the honor. And Lord, we just ask again that you just continue to help every one of us, Lord, to draw closer to you. And may you get a greater preeminence in our lives. And continue to open our hearts to the things that we have need of. Lord, we want to have everything just exactly right when that rapture takes place. So we just ask that you would direct us and guide us and keep us, Lord, in that precious, pure, unadulterated Word of God is our prayer. Bless each one. As we part from here, watch over us, guide us, keep us safe, Lord, and Lord, our brother has to drive against the farm. May you again just bless him and watch over him. Lord, we'd all be able to gather together again. In your glorious, precious name, again, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, our Savior, Lord, we ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, there is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging. In the shadow bless you. You're dismissed.